This is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy.
Hello, VFN family. Oh, I was so excited to be able to begin to share this teaching about liar, liar, your soul's on fire. We found out, my goodness, the children who actually quoted that rhyme was not far from the truth. We're going to find out more in this teaching exactly what happens. But what we learned in our first part of the teaching of this lying spirit talking about it in the church is that it takes a lot of effort to be able to say, you know what, God, I just want to be able to walk with you and walk in truth. And you are a God of truth. This is your native language and your nature to tell the truth. And Satan is a liar and the father of lies. I want to begin to divide that. And I believe it's beginning to just open in your heart, and God's going to speak to you in this teaching. And I'm going to begin to talk about, you know, lies that happen amongst our family and friends, and lies that happen in the church, business lies and finance lies and different things that are going on, and just lies over God in general and the Word. And so I just encourage you just to get up. It's going to be good. And at the very end, we're going to say a prayer together, and that if you had a lying spirit kind of attach itself to your life and your marriage, that God's just going to set you free. And from this point on, we're going to walk as people of integrity and people that tell the truth and say, God, I'm with you all the way. Amen. So some lies amongst the family. You know, I like to call this lies amongst friends and family. How many people just lie to each other all day long? They're like, there's no intimacy in our marriage. It's because you lie to each other. It's a spirit. You let the devil come in there and tear you guys apart. You're letting your children lie to you, and you're believing them. You know, you're lying to your parents. Of course you're not going to be close. We don't feel like family because you're lying to your parents. Lies amongst friends and family. You know, some of the lies that are told is like, I'm not able to do this or to do that. And the reality is that we're able, but we just said we weren't able to do it. Or I've got a headache. Or I just don't feel good right now. Or I'm sick. Or we don't have the money for that. When you have the money for that, but you're choosing to put the money here instead of there. Instead of just saying truth and go, you know, just no, you don't need that right now. But they don't say that. They lie. And you're wondering why your kids lie to you. Did you tell your kids you didn't have the money for it, and you did have the money for it, and they knew you had the money for it? But instead of saying no to your kids, you just said, we didn't have the money for that. But they see you go out and buy some electronic device, or see you buy a new dress, and they're thinking, like, why don't you just tell me no? No would have been better to me. But since you told me a lie, guess what's on me now? A lying spirit. This good? This is good. Or, yes, I love you. But their actions are hateful. But they say, don't pay attention to those. I love you. It's like, but you're killing me. But I love you. But you're killing me. You see, one of those is a lie, right? You see what I'm saying? It's that you got to get rid of this lying spirit, even in friends and family. If you find yourself, if you're set, you got to say, man, if I'm telling somebody I love them, but my actions are saying that I hate them, think about it. You really hate them. You don't love them. But you know what? You can repent and say, I lied. And you don't say, I hate you. You just say, God, I got hate in my heart. Forgive me. Something happened in my life, and make it right. As I was saying earlier, the doctor that talks about addictions, and we'll be talking more of that, he says, listen, don't trust a person that's addicted. And some people are addicted to lying. They just lie through their teeth. It's so weird. It's like, did you hear yourself? You just lied to me for the fifth time. And you want me not to be shocked, you know? He says, when you listen to somebody who's addicted, he says, don't believe anything they say. Only believe their behavior. That's what he said. There's some people that's just, this Americans, they're just addicted to lying. It's crazy. Cretans. He says, but confront that situation. He said, confront it. And you got to confront it. He said, no. Right? You say, but I don't care what you're saying. This is what you're actually doing. This is what Jesus said. He said it this way. He says, the fruit of their lips will tell you what's in their heart, and the fruit of their actions will tell you who they are. See, the doctor was basically just saying, listen, if you just look at the addicted person, and quit listening to what they're saying with their smooth, flowing, natural language of the lie thing coming out, that they actually are not truthful with you. And it's good. I'm talking about liars. All liars' place are in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. We don't want to be there. We got to begin to root this thing out of our life. And what is the truth? What is the truth when it comes to family and friends? Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Listen, if you're hanging around people who say they're your friend, they only tell you good things, that's not your friend. A friend will say, listen, that's not good. You need to change. This is wrong, what's going on here. That's somebody that will speak truth to you. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Friends and family are constantly concerned about the other one. They're not just letting anything happen. They're constantly involved in each other's life. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friend. Listen, true love is not somebody who tells you they love you and then beats the heck out of you. It's somebody who tells you they love you, but then they lay down their life for you. They lay down their desires for you. They stop things in their life to be there for you. That's love. And you got to ask yourself, you got to say, you know what? Am I living a lie? Am I telling my family I love them, but the reaction and the fruit that I showed them, I hate them? Am I taking on this lying spirit? And you got to understand, when we start facing this, we'll talk about it, but what's going to happen is you're going to begin to look introspectively in yourself and think, wait a minute, I've been lying to myself and I've been believing it, but now when I start telling the truth, I got to face some issues in my life that I haven't faced in my life. It's okay. The lie doesn't take it away. It just keeps you from actually seeing what's actually there. And God can deliver you. God can heal you. And God can set you free from the things you wouldn't deal with in your life. If you'll acknowledge it. It's the truth, right, that sets you free. Believe it or not, I'm going to talk about some lies amongst the clergy. You know, those who minister. You know, when I'm in ministry, some of the biggest surprises to me was to sit across the table from ministers who they had a lying spirit. And it was just no big deal to them. And people knew they lied. And it was like, you're a truth bearer. Why would you, you know, why, how does this work? You know, and some of the lies that have been told in ministry that you can see biblically is that, you know, somebody says, no, I'm not jealous of your ministry. But you find out if somebody's really, you know, jawboning you and working you over, there's this jealous spirit in them. And they're really like Jesus. The Pharisees were jealous of Jesus's ministry, and that jealousy caused them to have a plan to be able to kill Jesus. But they didn't say that to Jesus's face. Another is, you know, I love to hear how God is moving amongst your people. You know, it's like, you know, some, I'm not talking about people who honestly mean that, but believe it or not, there's lies amongst the body like that. I would continue to minister even if they didn't even pay me. How about telling the truth? Would you do that? Well, they would stop paying you, right? Okay. And so, she's a good wife. She's a good wife. And everybody in that church knows she ain't no good wife. And you're not dealing with that situation. He's a good husband when she knows, when she says he's a good husband, but she knows and everybody else knows that her husband is handpicked and does everything she tells him to do or manipulates him to do. These are lies. You know what I'm saying? We need to be the same in our home as we are on the streets. We need to be the same in our houses as we are in the public square. If we're not, we're lying. Is it making sense? You cannot, you've got to be who you are alone that when you're with people. Listen, VFN church leaders, you should not only be walking in truth when your church is around, you should walk in truth when you're alone. Because it's all about the eyes of the Lord. You know, the Lord showed me his eyes, and we were a time of worship, and his eyes, you know, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking whom they, whose heart is totally dependent on him, he says. And his eyes were like just right off my eyeballs. That's how close they were. And I can't even see that close, but I could see these eyes. And they were like right on me. And I opened my eyes, and I, oh my goodness, the vision of the eyes of the Lord. I closed my eyes, and they were there again. It was just awesome. But you know what? That's the fear of God. And understand, God's eyes are on you. You want to walk right before God because his eyes are on you, and he is one that's, his nature is truth, and the nature of Satan is lies. You want to live a life before God that is honest, that is transparent, that is true. authentic. Making sense? You're going to be really surprised how much better things go when you say, goodbye, liar. Lying spirit, get out of here. Your marriage is going to be better. Your family is going to be better. Your church is going to be better. Your workplace is going to be better. And if the nation repents, the nation's going to be better. See, think about it. If you're lying to your clergy, you're talking about lying. If you're lying to your apostle, if you're lying to your overseer, and they're hearing from God for you, you're messing with their ability to be confident in the voice of the Lord because they love you. And they confronted you over something and you lied to them. And all of a sudden they're going to start down. Well, maybe I didn't hear from God. Maybe, you know. And after a while they just think, well, I guess that's not God. And all of a sudden you cut off the voice of God to your life and now you're suffering. And you're upset that they're not there for you. And it's like you lied to your covering and eventually it just all blew apart. Instead of saying, no, this is true. Thank you. I'm so glad. No, we want to hear the voice of God. What is God saying? You're right. That's right. I need to deal with this in my life. Is it making sense? This is very important. Your fellowship of believers, you know, if you sit here and lie to your pastor over your church, your VFN church, and they're trying to disciple you and you go, is everything fine? Oh, it's fine. And you argue all the way to church. Your life's falling apart. You're struggling with something. And you said everything's fine when it's not. And God put on their heart there's something wrong and you told them a lie. You're messing with your own ability to hear the voice of God through your pastor. You just say, can we get a moment alone? I need to talk to you because there is something wrong. That's God speaking through them. But if you go, everything's fine, they're going to think, well, I guess I've asked her or him three times and they said nothing's wrong. And they'll start writing off the voice of God in regards to you. And God will quit speaking through them to you. And you've already cut off the voice of God to you. You see how important this is? This is so important. God is a truth bearer. He brings truth to us. But Satan brings what? Lies to us. Which one are we going to follow? Are we going to be a liar? Or are we going to be a person of the truth? Laws are for liars. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Laws are for liars. You got to have laws when you got liars. 1 Timothy 1, chapter 9, he says, we also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreaker. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreaker, the rebel, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy, the irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers and for murderers. Remember that, murderers, for adulterers, for perverts, for slave traders and what? And liars and perjurers. And for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is entrusted to me. Liars leave us no alternative but to have things written down for them. I mean, you got to write it down. You got to record it. You know, one thing in ministry, I'm like, when I'm doing marriage counseling, I don't, you know, the pastors do marriage counseling now, but I did marriage counseling for years. There's nothing like having a video recording that session because people just take on a lying spirit and deny it to their death. But it's amazing when you record a liar, they don't lie. It's so amazing. But turn that camera off. It's like, what is it? It's a lying spirit. Instead of thinking about a camera being on you, think about the eyes of the Lord being on you and realize, you know what? Everything's been recorded by God. Every word. I'll be acquitted or I should be convicted by my own words and my actions and what I'm doing. You'll see those who are liars, who have befriended a lying spirit, begin to freak out. The literal begin to freak out when they hear you recall about something they said. Well, didn't you say? And this whole just storm starts happening. It's like, if you said it, didn't it mean something? You see them start freaking out. You see them start freaking out when you refer to something that you had written down that they said. But they're insulted. It's like, please write down what I say because I might forget and you can remind me. You know, you shouldn't be upset if somebody writes down what you said unless you're a liar because you like changing things all the time. They freak out when you bring witnesses to be able to affirm what they said. It's like you could be talking to them alone. If somebody has a lying spirit, alone, and they'll lie to you all day long. You're thinking like, this is such a lie. Then you say, you know what? I'm going to bring so-and-so in here because they were there when you did this. And all of a sudden they go, it's right. That's right. It's like, what? There's no fear of God there at all. It's like, what are you doing? Why do you think convincing a man of something when God was the one? He said, liars end up in hell. We are not supposed to be people that lie. Just as much we're not supposed to be in sexual sin, we're not supposed to be a drunkard, we're not supposed to lie. It's not supposed to be amongst us. Or when they freak out when you start saying, hey, let's put this in writing. And finally, when you tell them, let's just go to the Word of God and let's see what God has to say about that situation, they actually get angry with you. You know why? Because they know the truth reveals a lie. I don't want to hear what God has to say about that. And I said, well, you know, you're a liar. You're a liar. And the father that you're following is the father of lies. And there's eternal consequences for that. But you can repent. You can acknowledge that. Liars do not like to be recorded. They do not like for you to write down what they say, and they definitely don't want the light of God's truth being brought into the situation. See, the reason why they're freaking out when these things happen, because they know they're about to be found out. They know they're about to be found out. They know that you are right in what you're saying, and they don't want you to be right, and they don't want to be exposed for what's going on. It's really strange, and you have to understand Satan deceives us. And up until that point, even though they probably knew they were lying, when you're confronting them, it's just becoming really obvious to them. I mean, you don't get angry and go, you know, you should have known you were lying all along. They're held captive by Satan to do his will, but they can be set free. You can be set free. If you've been lying like this and you're getting a little edgy right now, maybe you're a young man or young lady. Maybe you're a wife, maybe you're a husband, maybe you're, I don't know, and you get a little edgy, realize it's just becoming real obvious to you. You've been living a lie and staying in this lie. And God's going, listen, I want you to let it go. I want you to repent of this. Liars have to have a law. Their word means nothing. Their conversations will always be confusing. If you write it down, you'll have to write something new down every single time because it'll change every single time. Their yeses will always mean maybe, and their noes will always mean possibly. So a liar, if you're frustrated with somebody when you're trying to bring them to a place of, let's just talk about this, they're not going to talk about it until they get rid of a lying spirit. Now, you know how to pray for them. You actually begin to say, you know what? A lying spirit is just as bad as a perverse spirit, and it's got to go. It's of the devil, and it's the devil's native language. So now you can say, maybe you're praying over your children. Maybe you're praying over a spouse. Maybe you're praying over somebody in your business or somebody in your church. You can start coming against and binding the lying spirit and commanding it to go in Jesus' name. We're going to deal with that at the very end of this. But understand, now you know that's Satan coming in right there. Remember when Peter was talking to Jesus and he said, out of the middle of nowhere, he goes, Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, Jesus turns around and he acknowledged that Satan, second heaven, has shown up. And he says, Satan, get behind me. What happened was, Satan took over Peter's tongue and started using and saying something that actually he heard. So when you hear a lie, don't sit there and physically assault a person. Realize you just discerned a lying spirit there, and you can pray against that thing. And God is greater than anything the devil can do. And so now you know how to pray for somebody and begin to rebuke that thing in their life. So liars, understand, They're going to freak out, but you got to write stuff down. Laws are for liars. You have to have speed limit signs to people who say, sure, I'll drive 55, or sure, you know, I'll pay my taxes. But if you don't check on them, they're not going to pay their taxes because they're liars. They're just going to do things like that. So what does God say about that? What does he say about that? Well, laws are for liars, but, you know, he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, he says, simply let your yeses mean yes and your noes mean no. Well, a liar can't do that. A liar goes, you know, maybe, I'm sure, possibly, you know, for now it's yes, but you know. It's like, those are the most frustrating people to deal with. You know why? Because they could be lying to you. They could do it or not do it. I think the Word of God says a person who is untrustworthy is like trusting on, is somebody who's not, leaning on somebody who's not trustworthy is like having a bad tooth, a tooth pain. You just never know what they're going to do. They got a lot of reasons why they're going to lie to you. But the reality is you can't trust them because they're a liar. And so God says in response to this in Matthew 5:37, simply, Jesus says, simply let your yeses mean yes and your noes mean no. That's how we're supposed to be. And then he goes, anything beyond this, anything beyond a yes or a no is what? He says, it's from the evil one. You know why? Because that's the lie territory. There shouldn't be any of this ambivalence, you know, that you can be saying things like, why don't you hold off? We'll find out about this. Let me go seek God and find out because I want to give you a direct answer. Now, that's not giving somebody, that's not being ambivalent. That's saying, I want to seek God first over this whole thing. And then he talks about oaths in verse 33. Oaths, he says, again, this is Jesus, you have heard that it is said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oath you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, or by God, which is God's throne, or by the earth, which is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, which is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yeses be yes, and your noes no. Anything beyond this comes from the devil, comes from the evil one. See? Jesus said it. A lie is the native language of Satan. And it's not supposed to be amongst us. I understand we're like Cretans in this culture, but God's going to say, listen, we got to deal with this thing. You know, VFN, God has a desire for his kingdom to expand, and part of that is through VFN. And the 300 churches and 300 ministers and all, we have to be known for the truth. You can be trusted with the things of God. And this lying spirit's got to go in Jesus' name. You think about this. This is a good question. Is there ever a time to lie? Is there ever a time to lie? Well, you think about it. Why would you say that? I mean, you think about when the Jews were being persecuted and Nazi Germany was holding a gun at their head to a family member and said, if you don't say this, you think about it, is there ever a time they were supposed to lie? Isn't that something? It's a huge question, because a lot of people will always, every liar will go, this was the time, that was a good time, this was a good time. They got all these great times to lie. But the reality is, they were not supposed to lie. If we lie, is there grace? Is God could forgive us if we repent? Yes, he does. Can things still work out good in our life? Yes, they can. We think about Abraham. When Abraham said to the king, Abimelech, he told Sarah, says, listen, you tell them you're my sister, which really wasn't a lie in the context of it, because he was his sister. She was his sister, because that's how kind of lineage was like that. But he was trying to divert from the truth that she was his wife. And God stepped in and turned things around, but it wasn't the best situation right there. We think about King David. There was a time when King David literally had to act crazy because they were going to kill him, and they thought he lost his mind. You know, was that? No, I don't think so. Well, you think about Isaac. He ended up in the same situation as his father, and ended up lying about his wife, like the same situation going on. Or you think about Jacob. You know, Jacob went and lied to his father to be able to get a blessing, and he got the blessing. This is what I say about it. What Satan means for evil, God will turn for good. The question is, did Jesus lie? And the answer is no. And that's who we're supposed to imitate. But there's times when things happen where we quickly commit to something without seeking the Lord. You know the difference between Saul and David, King Saul and King David? David sought the Lord, and Saul just acted without seeking the Lord. And sometimes we just quickly, we find ourselves just jumping into something in a hurry. And when we get there, our spirit man's going, what are you doing here? What? And you're like, I'm probably not supposed to be here. And sometimes, you know, we have to eat crow in the whole situation because of what we did. But first of all, I want to say this. If our authority, those that God has placed in our life, that we are, that God is, that they're responsible for us and have to give an account for us, if they ask us to do something, it should be quickly. There's no question that as long as it's not illegal or moral sin, just do it. There's no question that, because that's where you're related. That's what you're supposed to do. But if there's not, if this particular person is not placed in your life by God in leadership, but just another brother or sister in the Lord, you don't be so quick to just jump into something. You know, there's, you know, if you listen to God and you hear His voice, you're going to be miserable if you jump ahead of God. You got to, when somebody's doing something for Jesus and you love Jesus. You know, I think some people come to mind right now, people that they, every time somebody's doing something for Jesus, they want to get in it. Well, that's not for you. You got to find out what God's for, you know, what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord. And you can do that by finding out, you know, what God is doing in your leadership and what's happening. But when it's somebody that's not in your authority, but they love Jesus and they're a believer and they're going to do something, you know, give yourself some time. You know, don't say, give me 48 hours, but try to take about a couple of days and say, you know what, can I get back with you on this? What do you want to do? You're going to abide 2 more days. You're going to be able to meditate on that. You're going to be able to hear God on it. And by the time you actually see them again, you're going to be able to give them a clear yes or a clear no. You think about it. Well, if you didn't get anything from the Lord, he's just letting you do whatever that is. Okay. But if he will stop you if he doesn't want you to do that. But what happens if you move ahead of seeking him, you're going to be somewhere you shouldn't have been. And all of a sudden, now you're stuck. What do I do? I said yes without seeking God, so I'm like Saul. I want to repent and get like David. Who am I going to do wrong here? And so what we do is we go to that particular person, and we would say to them, listen, I was so quick to commit to you. And I meant it when I committed. But can you release me from this? I feel like God has so checked me, and I should not have said yes to this. Will you release me? And some, you know, and if they hear from God too, they're just going to go, yes. But they could say, no, I'm not going to release you from this. And then what you got to do, you got to go back and now seek God about what do I do with this? Because now they won't release me from this. And then whatever God, sometimes God will say, I want you to suffer the consequences of this. And you have to do that situation. And sometimes God will do something totally different, but you're seeking God every step of the way. You don't just flippantly say, I'm not going to do this. I mean, you're caring because you're a person of integrity. You're a person of truth. When you say something, when God says something, it happens. So you know what I'm saying? You don't just flippantly switch from one thing to the other. You want to hear God. God, get me out of this. I'm sorry. You know, I jumped ahead of you. I don't know what to do. Touch their heart and get a release from that. But you just don't go up and say, hey, I shouldn't have done this. I'm not going to do it now. Some people do that and they blame it on God. But there are some times, you know, when God wants us, it tells us openly, says, listen, I want you to take the boy, Isaac, and I want you to go to the top of the mountain. I want you to tell everybody you're going to kill the boy. You're going to sacrifice him. And that's just how it is. The Lord would say unto you, I'm going to go to the top of this mountain. I'm going to take Isaac and I'm going to tie him up and I'm going to burn him at a stake, stab him, all this kind of stuff. It's like, ah. And next thing you know, it's like, I got to go back down there and tell everybody to kill the boy. I see what's happening. I see Jehovah Jireh. You're providing and you provided a ram and, you know what I'm saying? You're like, well, the whole thing was about a fear of God anyway. It's not a fear of man. We're not trying to look right in men's eyes. By the way, a man will never satisfy another man's eyes. So get over that. But it's the eyes of the Lord. So what happens? Well, if you come down with Isaac, you know, to men, you're going to look like you lied. But to God, it shows how much you love him, how much you fear him over fearing man. So this whole thing I'm talking about is the eyes of the Lord. It's about us being right before him. Because Jesus was called a liar. He was called Satan. He said, they told him that the religious people said he got his powers from Satan. That was lies. They weren't true. Was Jesus worried about his reputation? No, he made himself of no reputation. You see what I'm saying? So it's about God. What is God telling us? Did Jesus lie? No, he didn't lie. But you know what he did? He remained silent. He just remained silent. When somebody asked him a question, what he would do? He would answer a question with a question. Why? When we actually answer a question with a question, first of all, if it's the devil working through this person, they're not going to answer it. Or if they answer it, they'll answer it with a lie because they're revealing their heart. And you find out, answering a question with a question, what spirit this whole thing is of. And then you just remain silent. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, well, neither will I answer you. You don't owe a man an answer. You owe God to be truthful and to be honest. And sometimes thinking you got to say everything you know puts you in the same place if you would have even lied. So you're just like, you know what? I just need to find out what God's wanting me to do here. So Jesus remained silent. He answered a question with a question. When appropriate, he said what was truth. And at other times, when he discerned the spirit, what they were of, he goes, well, neither am I going to tell you. And he had the answer, but he just didn't tell them. So turn to Revelation chapter 21, and I want to close with this. This is why I'm talking about a lying spirit. And when we talked about the children's rhyme, when they said, liar, liar, pants on fire, what I'm talking about is liar, liar, soul on fire. Jesus said, don't fear anybody who can kill your body or destroy your body. Fear the one who can destroy your soul and your body. I'm talking about eternal damnation, separation from God, revealing and dealing with a lying spirit in the church. We're not talking perfection here. We're talking about clearing the books at the cross. You know, Revelation chapter 21, he's talking about the new Jerusalem in verse 1, where we're all headed to. This new Jerusalem is going to be coming down, and it's going to be so awesome. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, from the first heaven to the first earth had passed away, and there were no longer any more seas. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Hallelujah. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. Hallelujah. He who's seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. The future is awesome. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I'll be his God, and he'll be my son. But, say that with me, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, which is witchcraft, idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Think about it. What a huge lie that's been promulgated over the church, that we can lie and still go to heaven. Isn't that crazy? Is the ultimate lie is you can lie and God doesn't care. And you're going to see the new city and the new Jerusalem. You're walking the street. There's no more tears and no more pains. And you're walking in this lie. Your business dealings, how you handle finance, how you handle your relationships, how you handle your taxes, how you handle your bills, how you handle your church and how you walk before God, how you handle others. You know, you're thinking, oh, let me tell you, what is that huge? Think about it. The biggest lie of all is Satan said you can lie and it doesn't matter. You don't have to make it right. He says, but he talks about the beautiful city coming down. No more tears, no more sickness, no more pains. Beautiful, new earth, new heaven. The old orders pass away. And it's like, you're excited. I'm going to get to go. And all of a sudden, but you? You're a liar. All liars will go to hell. That's what he said. God places all liars in the same category as cowards, unbelievers, murderers, sexual immoral, and witches. What a lie. Isn't that something? How horrific is telling a lie? Until we see how God sees a lie. Until we see how horrific it is. Until we see that God's eyes are on us. And it is for His eyes only that we walk before Him. Until we see that the tragedy and the consequences of living a lie, walking with a lying spirit and refusing to repent, you'll continue to believe the ultimate lie from the small f father of lies, that your destiny is the same as believers, when the truth is, it's the same as unbelievers, murderers, sexual immorals, and witches. Only till we see that, then we go, you know what? I'm not going to run my mouth so much. I'm going to be very careful, because what I say, I'm going to do. I'm going to be a truthful person. I'm going to be honest with my wife. I'm going to be honest with my husband. I'm going to be honest with my children. I'm going to be honest with my parents. I'm going to be honest with my brothers and sisters. I'm going to be honest with my employees. I'm going to do business before the Lord. I'm not going to believe these lies anymore. I'm going to walk in the truth as Jesus is truth. I'm going to be in agreement with God, not with Satan. The question is, what's the answer? Okay, now we see, oh my goodness, what's the answer? This is the answer. How can you do this? This is how you can do this. Get a fear of God in your life. Begin to cry, God, I want a holy dread that makes me tremble before your presence. I want to fear God in my life. Why is there no fear of you? Lord, just begin to cry. Say, God, I want a fear of God in my life. Show me how close your eyes are to me. Give me a vision to show me that your eyes are on me. God is the only one that we have to please. With a fear of God, you begin to do all things right. Don't fear the one who can only destroy the body. Fear the one who can destroy the body and the soul. A fear of God. Understand that you can love God, but have a reverential fear of the reality of my consequences. If I don't deal with the sin of my life, I'll end up in the same lake of hell that every other sinner will end up in. The second thing to do is to love God and love others. When we love God, we do the things that He wants us to do because He loves us and because we love Him, like Joseph says, I can't do this sin against the one I love. And if we did sin, if we did lie or something, we're just torn up over it because we know that it hurt the heart of the one that we love. And we admit and say, God, forgive me for that. And we go to the person, forgive me for even doing that or saying that. And God says, forgiven. When we love others, we don't want them to suffer because of our relationship with them or because of us doing business with them. You see, when we love them, we want them to come out okay in their encounters with us. It matters to us when we love them. We won't lie to them. When it's all said and done, when the relationship happens, the business deal is done, you have to face God. You have to face Him. And to know in advance with a fear of God in your heart helps you to do what's right today. When you can see the end of things, the akarif, when you can see, you know what? I might as well do right because I love God so much and I love them that I'm going to turn this thing around in the end anyway and I'll have to eat a whole bunch of crow and repent and all because I'm going to make it right. Why don't I just do it right to begin with? Why don't I just tell the truth now? When we love others, when we love them, we have a willingness to suffer loss or have a smaller gain for the sake of the greater prize, which is our love for them and love for God. We don't mind getting the short end of the stick as long as it came out all right, the encounter came out all right. When our motives in life are to live a pleasing life before God, knowing this life lasts, as he describes in the book of James, as long as a vapor, when we're eternally focused for the new city and new Jerusalem and the reality of a lake of fire, hey, you know what? You know what? I'm just going to live in truth. I'm going to live in truth. And if I've lied, I'm going to make it right and live a life that I'm not going to do that anymore. That's it. God's word says this way. Guess what? It's that way. When somebody else says it's differently, liar. What else could you call it if God's truth? So how will your life look differently? How will you, when you begin to take on this character of saying, I'm going to be a person that's going to be a person of truth, you'll begin to speak slower. You know, I'll do this. And you just start committing to stuff. You slow down, you know, You'd rather be accused of not answering someone than to be accused of being a liar. You may remain silent when somebody demands an answer of you. You're thinking, I'm going to have to wait. I've got to see God over this. I love him too much to be caught up in a double-minded situation again. You'll take more time praying and seeking God's will for what is right for you than answering questions. Remember the difference in Saul and David? Saul was just doing all kinds of things without talking to God. And God said, I resented the day that I ever made him king. But David, who wasn't perfect, he sinned, he made mistakes, but he sought the Lord on every occasion. What should I do? Men are going to be very disappointed because they like to, especially Satan. Satan steps in and takes somebody over and they're trying to make you make a quick decision. You know, if anybody's trying to force you to make a quick decision, unless it's your authority and saying for you to do this, you should do it. But if it's not your authority, somebody else, you say, you have to give me a moment, especially if they're trying to push it on you. You'll answer questions with questions. For this will help you find out the heart of the person and the spirit behind what they're doing. If they choose not to answer you, you say the same thing Jesus said to others. You say, well, neither will I answer you. Are they going to make up answers to that question? Probably. The same spirit that actually is letting them do it probably will. You'll no longer blame God or his spirit for your lack of personal integrity or unwillingness to seek God on a matter. I'm talking about if you're going to walk in truth, you're not going to blame it on God anymore. You know what? You're going to take ownership. So you know what? It's me. God, I want to be. And what we can do, look what you can do. Say, you know what, God, from this moment on, that's all I can do. From this moment on, by your grace, I'm going to be a man or a woman of integrity. You can't fix your past, but you can say, you know what, from this point on, I could be a different person. You understand that not answering someone is not lying. It's just not answering them. You'll become aware of what God thinks about you and your yeses. You'll be more aware of that your word, when you say something, you're going to do something, you're going to do it. When you shake somebody's hand, it means something to you. You'll not be able to rest if you've done that and it didn't turn out right until you make it right, because you want to be right before God. And you'll sign no contract. You'll take no credit card. You'll take no loan. You'll take no mortgages unless you know you have the ability in yourself to be able to pay that off. You'll prayerfully prepare yourself. You need to do this. This is very important, to prayerfully prepare yourself to be honest. This is going to be a shocker to you if you've walked around with a lying spirit, because the biggest thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to start looking at yourself. And you need God in this. You know, you need God. I'm going to start being truthful. I'm going to tell some truth in this whole situation. And you got to prepare yourself, because you need to prayerfully prepare yourself to be truthful in your marriage. You know, as spouses, if y'all been lying to each other every day about what you call little white lies, or, you know, you're saying it's this when it's that, that's a lie. It's putting a faction between you guys, and you have not been honest, and you're not going to have a true relationship unless you start being honest there. You got to prepare and pray for your spouse and prepare yourselves to be honest. With your parents, you need to prayerfully prepare yourself. Say, I'm going to start being honest with my parents. It may mean, you know, that if you're honest in your marriage, when you're honest about it, even if it ends up you're not even married anymore, you cannot keep on living a lie. You've got to start saying, you know what, I'm going to be truthful in this situation. This is called living truthful. So a lot of people, some people think it's okay to lie because it keeps this bad thing from happening. Right? Is it really? How can the devil keep something bad from happening? Second is, when you're telling your parents the truth, you got to pray over that, because even if it means that you're going to suffer discipline or loss of freedom in your life because you're honest with your parents about who you're hanging out with, what you're doing in your room, what you're watching on the TV, what you're really doing with your phone, what you're doing when your parents aren't around. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, just be honest. God can move in that. With your pastor, even if it means that you're going to be removed from ministry for a season or be held to higher accountability. But you know what? You know what? I'm just going to be truthful because it's me and God. That's what it boils down to. When you're going to be honest with your brothers and your sisters, even if it means they might choose not to have a relationship with you, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest. And with yourself, and this is like the big one, even if it means that you've got to spend time walking through personal deliverance and healing because you're finally facing your reality that you've been covering with lies for so long. And with God, even though you know you have to acknowledge that you've been a liar, that you've been living a lie. You may feel ashamed for a season, but no, God will forgive you just like He does every single other sin. There has to be a turning point. There has to be a turning point. It's just, okay, I'm going to begin to live a life of truth. I'm going to be a person of integrity. By God's grace and in view of His mercy, understanding I'm a flawed vessel, but I'm going to put things in my life that helps me be a man of integrity or a woman of integrity. The turning point is a place of repentance. I decide at this point today, at this very moment when I'm hearing this teaching, I will be a man or a woman of truth. I'll confess that I'm a liar. Deal with the thing. I've lied to my spouse. I've lied to my parents. I've lied to the pastor. I lied to the apostle. I lied to the employer, my employer, my supervisor. I've lied to the government. I lied to my brothers and my sisters. It's a turning point. We're just going, you know what? I'm just going to get it all out. It's just a lie. This is awesome. This is deliverance. And then we repent. From this point on, we're saying this: I will be a man or woman of integrity. I will be slow to speak and quick to listen. Think about it. If I make a promise, shake a hand, verbally say that I'll do this or I won't do that, I'll be faithful to do it or to not do it. Even if it means I suffer loss or get less gain in my life for doing it. If I commit to something and the Lord stops me and tells me that I have failed to seek Him over this matter and made a wrong choice, I will go back to that person or persons, and repent for this and seek them to release me from my commitment. If they fail to release me, I will go back to God and continue to seek Him and what to do. If He directs me to keep my commitment to them, to go through a time of suffering, that's what I'll do. And if He tells me He'll touch their heart, I'll go back to them and say, will You release me again? You see how important it is? It makes you just want to do things right from the beginning. This is an awesome day. Today you're going to be free from a lying spirit. It will have no hold on you. When you bring the truth in, the lie's got to go. Amen? So I want you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray this prayer. And this is a prayer of deliverance. I want you to pray this prayer with me and just believe. Say, Lord, I believe right now. I believe You shared this message with me. This is because You want to set me free from any lies in my life. That's right. Okay, I want to say, pray this prayer when you pray with me. Say, Father God, I come to You in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your word is true, for You are not a man that You would lie, or the son of man that You would change Your mind. It is impossible for You to lie. It's totally against Your nature to lie. But as for me, I have sinned. Your word and this teaching has revealed this in my heart. I will no longer lie to you or others. This is truth, and I receive it. I have lied to my family. I have lied to my spouse. I have lied to my children. I have lied to my parents. I have lied to my employer. I have lied to my supervisor. I have lied to the government. I have lied to my pastor. I have lied to the apostle. I have lied to my fellow ministers. I have lied to my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for lying. Lying is an evil sin. It comes from the pits of hell and the heart of Satan. Lies and liars are just like unbelievers, murderers, witches, and the sexual immoral. It's wrong. Forgive me, Lord. I've sinned. Bring me into close relationship with you and others that will help me begin to be a person of integrity. One whose word or handshake is more binding than a written contract. Help me to lay my head down every night in peace, knowing that I live a life of truthfulness before you and others. Remind me by your Spirit not to be quick to commit to something without seeking you and your will for me. Keep me from signing contracts, from making purchases, from making covenants without seeking you first. And right now, by the authority I have in Jesus Christ, I take authority over this lying spirit. I break every legal right I gave you to operate in my life. I bind you, Satan. You're the father of lies. And I command you to leave my life, leave my family, leave my marriage, leave this church. In Jesus' name, I break every lie in Jesus' name, and I lose truth. May I be known from this moment on as a person that not only seeks truth, but lives it on a daily life. In Jesus' name.
If you haven't yet met Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to Him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to VFNTV.com. You can also download the VFNTV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to VFNTV.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN-TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from His Word, and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord, and to activate you in your destiny with God that He's called you to. For more information, go to VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.